Okay, Shalom. We have a very interesting Gemara as usual. Rav Kook has a lot to say, a lot of important messages. So let's get into it. The Gemara Masechet Shabbat, Daf Nun Amud Bet, teaches as follows. And again, it sounds a little halachic, but as you'll see, it's mainly ethical, moral, philosophical. We saw last time that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi allowed to wrap cold things on Shabbat, to insulate cold things, like in a thermos. Amar li Rav Nachman lidru avdei. Rav Nachman said to his servant, non-Jewish servant, Atmin litzonen, please wrap the cold drink on Shabbat. In other words, he also allows it. Ve'aiti limaya da'achim kafila arma. And also, please bring me water that was boiled by a non-Jewish cook. In other words, he was lenient regarding these two things. Shama Rabbi Ami ikpid. Rabbi Ami was angry. And Amar Rav Yosef, my time ikpid. Rav Yosef said, why was Rabbi Ami angry that Rav Nachman allowed these two leniencies to, again, wrap cold things on Shabbat and also to drink water which was cooked by a non-Jew? Answers the Gemara, Kiravut Avid. Rav Nachman simply did like his Rebbeim, who also were lenient. Chada Karav v'chada Keshmuel. One was a leniency of Rav, the other is a leniency of Shmuel. To Amrav Yehuda Amar Shmuel mutar latmin etatzonen. As we saw, yes, you are allowed to wrap cold things on Shabbat. V'cherav to Amrav Shmuel barav Yitzchak Amarav kol shu ne'echal kamot shu chay ein bo mishum bishulei akum. Anything which you can eat raw without cooking, you were allowed to eat it if a Gentile cooked it. There's no problem of Bishul Akum. This is one of the important points regarding the laws of Bishul Akum. For example, a carrot. You can eat a carrot raw. And therefore, if a non-Jew cooks a carrot for you, there's no problem of Bishul Akum. Because in general, you're not allowed to eat things that were cooked by a Gentile. If they're important food, that's number one. And number two, if they can only be eaten cooked. But if they can be eaten raw, then it's allowed. Dafka, we needed these halachot recently when my wife and I went to Jordan, and there's not kosher food. So there are certain things that you're allowed to eat if you know that the food is kosher, but you have to beware even if it's kosher, because a Gentile cooked it. It continues the Gemara. Vehu. So why, if these two leniencies are allowed, why was Rabbi Ami angry that Rav Nachman was lenient? Vehu savar adam chashuv shani. Rabbi Ami said that important people should take the more stringent opinions. And Rav Kook is going to deal with really two major questions. If both of these opinions are cited in the Talmud, that means that there must be logic and truth in both of them. And if so, question number one, why was Rav Nachman lenient on these two issues? Now, apparently, the Gemara gets the feeling that Rav Nachman is becoming very lenient. And Rav Ami doesn't like it. And Rav Ami explains that important people, important rabbis, should be more stringent regarding themselves. And if so, the question is, so why did Rav Nachman allow himself to be lenient? And also we have to understand Rav Ami, why was Rav Ami angry? In other words, there is a time for rabbis themselves to be stringent on themselves, and there is a time for rabbis to be more strict on themselves. And this has a lot of ramifications, as we'll see, regarding Judaism in general. Rav Kook explains as follows. 2 Aleph, this is Einaya, chapter 4, Piska Yud Bet. Pu'lat ha'ashpa'a shel ha'adam chashuv al hador, the influence of important people on their generation is really divided into two different aspects, as represented in Rav Nachman's approach and in Rabbi Yami's approach, in the stricter approach and in the more lenient approach. שלפעמים יהיה קשה להשלים ביניהם שהדבר הפועל לטובה לצד אחד יהפך לרועץ לצד השני. And sometimes, as in our case, the two seem opposites. Now, those of us who have been learning Rav Kook together for several years knows that this is a classic example for Rav Kook to show his philosophy, which can be summarized in the words of Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, Ichud ha-hofachim, to unite the opposites. The Nazir said it's ha-achdut ha-kolelet, to unite all of the different details into one general understanding. But here it's actually two opposing opinions. The time for rabbis to be strict on themselves and the time for rabbis to be lenient on themselves. Hatzada echad hu hatzada ma'asi. Rav Kook explains that one aspect is the practical aspect. Ra'ui sheyeda ha'am ki ha'chacham asher bekirbo. The people who are watching the rabbi, the leader, spiritual leader, they should know that this wise person who is living among them, shuroet kvodo v'atzilut nafsho, that the people see that he is something special, something spiritual, v'chafetz liyot dome lo l'shevach v'li'ilui. The people should want to copy the rabbi. In other words, he has to be relevant to the lives of the masses. And this is how Rav Kook is explaining Rav Nachman's approach. Rav Nachman knows that as a spiritual leader, people have to relate to him and learn from him. And if he is living a life up in the clouds, people are not going to be willing to learn from him. Kefi ha'efshari lo mitzad itarurut hatzad elyon sheba'adam mitzad ha'nefesh elohit shebekirbo. Hare, every person has a spark of God in him. Every person has a godly neshama in him and has that godly potential. And if so, in every society, there are those who should be more spiritual, but they have to be within an eye's distance, seeable, approachable to the masses so that the masses can also relate to that Torah. Shehimit nasit kishrua'e machaze nedar elyon venisa, hine yeh chacham l'torah chaya. This is a term that Rav Tzvi Yehuda used to use a lot, that a person, a spiritual person, should be a walking Sefer Torah. Should be a walking Sefer Torah, so that people can see how a godly person acts in his day-to-day life. Shekol ma'asav, halichotav, the way he acts, the way he walks, b'shekel kodesh hem shkulim, that this great rabbi, he weighs every small thing that he does exactly in the best way possible, v'ro'ui lalechit bahem, and that the people can and should, or should and can, copy him and be like him. Lo'oshram u'lekaimam b'derech ha'chaim. This is the first aspect of the Torah that Rav Kook is stressing, that the rabbis are obligated with the same Shulchan Aruch as everyone else, and that it's doable. Let's jump for a second to source number 3, where the Torah in Sefer Devarim, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yud Aleph, stresses this in several psukim. Ki ha-mitzvah hazot asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. This mitzvah, these commandments that God is commanding us today, lo nifleti mimcha, they are not out of your league, velo rechokahi, they are not out of your reach, lo bashamayimi, the Torah and the mitzvot are not in heavens, they are down to earth, you can do them. Le mor, you shouldn't say, mi aleh lanu hashamayim v'kachei alanu. If they were in the heavens, people would say, well, who could do that? That's just asking too much. And also the Torah is not on the other side of the ocean. Lemur miyavor lanu ele ever ayam v'yikachea lanu. No, the Torah is with us. V'yashmiena ota v'na'asena. Ki karov elecha hadavar me'od b'ficha uvilvavcha la'asoto. The Torah is in our ballpark, and that we, in our mouths and with our hearts and with our actions, we can and should do the Torah. In other words, the Torah stresses that it has to be relevant. And even when a rabbi might be more spiritual than the other people, his actions have to be relevant to everyone else that they can learn from him. This is the famous Gemara in Masechet Yoma I brought from source Yoma Peivav Amud Aleph, source number 4, where the Gemara asks, Hechi dami kiddush Hashem? How does one make a kiddush Hashem to sanctify God's name? We learn from the pasuk V'avta et Hashem Elokecha, you shall love the Lord your God. Sheyehi shem shamayim mitahev al yadecha. That God's name should become dear, should become beloved through you. So that a person should be learned, and people see that he's a mensch. What will the people say? Wow, this guy is lucky that he got a religious education. Happy is his Rebbe who taught him Torah. In other words, well, we used to say in Bnei Akiva, the first step of being a madrich is you have to be a dugma ishit. You have to be a living example of what you want to teach, which means not only can you not be a hypocrite, can the madrich or the teacher or the rabbi not be a hypocrite, this is for parents also, not only should the parent not be a hypocrite, but that the child can relate to the Rebbe as well. Because that is the goal of the parent and of the teacher, so that others should learn from him. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, in source number 5, I brought this, is in Sefer Chassidim Sif Tedvav, also stresses this idea. Very interesting question. Yalilcha zar velo picha. You know, maybe if we'll save this till the end if we have time. But let us go back to the Gemara. So again, we're in Perek, source number 2. Paragraph Aleph, where the point here is that the Torah has to be relevant for the masses. And this is a very important point. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, and Rav Kook throughout his writing stresses that the Torah was not given to individuals. All right, there were always individual tzaddikim, even before the Avot. There was, remember, Noach, and Metushelach, and Chanoch, and Adam, and Shem, and every generation had one righteous person. But that wasn't enough, because God wants to show us that morality and godly ideals are applicable, are relevant to every single person, not just to individuals. And how did he do that? By choosing a nation, Asher Bachar Banu Mikola Amim. And that is why, one of the reasons why Rav Kook is so nationalistic, so Zionist, because the Torah is Zionist. Because the Torah was given to the nation of Israel, and that is why the Torah has to be livable and relevant. Now, why do I stress this? So often, the Torah is seen as something just for special people. I remember my father tells the story when they brought him in from Chicago to unite three schools, the Salanter Yeshiva from the Bronx, and the Akiva, and the Riverdale Hebrew Day School. And my father came to visit the Salanter Yeshiva, and it's a famous old yeshiva. My Yossi here knows my wife's uncles learned in the Salanter Yeshiva, and in his day was considered very serious. But at the time when my father came, they brought him in Tavshin Kafchet in 1968, and the Rosh Yeshiva shows him a classroom with three boys in the classroom. And my father asked, what, you have a grade with only three boys? So the Rosh Yeshiva said, no, look out the window. There are another 20 guys playing basketball outside. So my father said, so why are there 20 guys outside and only 3 guys inside? So the Rosh Hashiva said in Yiddish, these are the gute bochrim, these are the good boys. And the guys playing basketball outside, those are the bad boys. So my father said to him, well, I think if you give a choice to learn or not to learn, I think the guys who are learning, they are the stupid boys, because the guys who are playing outside and enjoying playing basketball all day, they're having a good time. And the problem is they could not relate to the Torah, and the Torah was seen as something for nebuchs, something for chnunim, something for losers, and it wasn't approachable. And by the way, just even in our yeshuv, just this week, the rabbi put up on the WhatsApp that he started a class for boys, for children. Even during vacation, summer, they should learn Torah. So there's a picture of the rabbi with 10 boys. All of them have large kippot, black kippot, long payas. Those are the boys who wear the gartel during davening. The problem is, where are most of the boys? That's 5% of the boys of the yeshuv. And somebody commented on this, that apparently we have to go out of our way to make the Torah relevant. Because if the average boy thinks that the Torah is only relevant for a kid who wears a black velvet kippah and has long payas and chuckles a lot during davening, we are doing a disservice, because the Torah is meant for the masses. It's for the entire nation. And that is what Rav Kook is saying here. I remember when I've mentioned this in the past, when I came to Israel and I met my Rebbeim in the Hesder Yeshiva in Kiryat Arba, where they were young, they were soldiers, they were dynamic, and I said to myself, wow, this is a living Torah. When I met Rav Hanan Porat, I'll never forget, he blew me away. Davka the fact that he dressed like everyone else, with a flannel shirt and sandals without socks and jeans, and he showed me what is the living Torah that everyone can and should relate to. Explains Rav Kook, this is the reason why Rav Nachman pointed out these leniencies, and the Gemara points out that sometimes Rav Nachman was lenient, davka to show the masses that the Torah is doable, that it is approachable. You don't have to make life difficult to be a good observant Jew. And so that is the first point. Now, obviously, we have to understand why Rav Ami got angry, and why he says that important rabbis, davka, should be strict with themselves, because his opinion is also cited in the Gemara. So let us see the next paragraph. Continues Rav Kook in paragraph Bet. Bezeh ha'erech ra'ui l'chacham sheitnaheg b'malach chayav ba'ofen efshari liyot karov l'chayei ha'am. As we explained, rabbis have to be approachable to the people. Leman yedu kulam, so that everyone should know, not just the selected few in the bell curve, those who are more intelligent or more religious. Ki kol ma'asim asher u'oseh hem Torah l'chol la'am, that everything that the rabbi does has to be doable to everyone in the nation. And that is why, continues Rav Kook, why Rav Nachman lintot kav lahakel bekulot maasiyot? Why Rav Nachman chose practically to sometimes be especially lenient while acting in front of the other people, so that they should see how he acts. L'rchavata shel Torah mitzvoteh b'shvil chemdata netzach ve'od mor Elohi asher benafsham mikom akom, even with his desire to be super spiritual, Mikom akom yavligu al teshukatam ha'adina. Sometimes the rabbis and the spiritual leaders and parents have to, lahavlig is to control themselves, to hold back, in order that the masses can be like them, can they are seen to be relevant. Dafka, I saw this week a very interesting, somebody wrote a doctorate about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who, if you see pictures of the Lubavitcher Rebbe when he was young, and he was already, if I remember correctly, engaged to his wife, who was the daughter of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. And the idea was her parents said that they will make the shidduch on condition that he is going to be the next Rebbe. In other words, he knows he's supposed to be the next Rebbe. And what does he do? He goes west to Berlin and to Paris, and he learns in university. He learns sciences in university. He stops dressing like a Chabadnik. He trims his beard. He looks like all of the students. And the obvious question is, why? And what this guy wrote in his doctorate, he brought that there are many sources in Hasidut where great Hasidic leaders, for a certain time period, especially when they were young, hid their greatness, hid their spirituality, in order to act and to look like everyone else. And the idea is so that then when they re-reveal themselves, people can relate to them and say, hey, I can be like him as well. Now, this idea is something that we've mentioned in the past, and this is an opportunity to see it inside. A very, very important idea, where Rav Kook relates to the concept of Hitkatnut HaDorot. The Gemara Masechet Shabbat in Surah 7, Daf Kuf Yud Tet Amud Bet, says, one of the rabbis says, Imri Shonim B'nei Malachim, if the old generations, rabbis, are like the children of angels, Anachnu B'nei Anashim, we are just normal people. V'Imri Shonim B'nei Anashim, but if the earlier rabbis are people, Anu Kechamorim, we are like donkeys. In other words, there is a concept that the earlier generations are much greater, and Hitkatnut HaDorot, the further that we fall from Mount Sinai, the less great we are. On the other hand, we have learned together many, many times that Rav Kook writes about how the world is based on evolution, that with ups and downs, but the general direction is up, and the world is constantly evolving and improving. And that's why the most natural thing is for me and for you and for all of us to always improve. And that cell phones and sports records are always improving. And it's most natural, the world is based on constant improvement. If so, that seems to contradict what we said, that things are falling. And now we're saying that things are improving? Rav Kook explains, very important. This is from Ma'amar Hador, page Kuf Yud Aleph. Be'otam hayamim bichlalo od lo haya klalut hador mukhshar lidemut shehu ra'ui l'she'ifot gedolot v'chol tachluav ha-musarim hayu yicholim litkanes rak be'eze shiflut shel tavot me'eze sug shehi. That primitive man was primitive. And we see different stories in the Tanakh that people were running after their desires and were serving idols and gilui arayot and sleeping with the enemy, and those were the masses. Ve'achshav haklal nitromim. Rav Kook is differentiating between the rabbis and the masses. True, the rabbis are falling. We don't have a Rambam today. We don't have a Chavetz Chaim today. On the other hand, the masses are rising. Klal nitromem, the general population, is improving. Al cheshbonam shel ha'ishim ha'pratiim, but this is at the account, at the expense of the greatness of the individual rabbis. Shezel bichlal mahalach ha'tolad ha'anoshit. The way of the development of mankind is that mankind is constantly improving. Birubet kufot ha-historia anachnu motzim chachamim na'alim ugdolei ruach bedorot ha-rishonim shanu mishta'im al godlam v'oz rucham. We look at the Rambam, we look at Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, we look at the great rabbis of the previous generations, and we are blown away. The problem is, Rav Kook is saying, we have difficulty today to relate to them. What we need today is rabbis who we can relate to. And that's why the rabbis have to come down to be like us, who are approachable. And that enables natural evolution, that the masses can rise and meet with these Rabbanim. And that is why today, in the yeshiva high schools, and in the Hezder yeshivot, and in the midrashot, almost all of the staff are young, dynamic, approachable rabbis. But when the rabbis were great, the general masses, they were on a very low level. Bein bedat, bein bemusar, both intellectually and also morally. Emet ki na'ala mikol amon haya amon amenu, mitzar kedusha elohit achofevet alav vayilanes. It's true that the Jewish people were always a cut above the rest of the masses. We always knew how to read and write, and there was always less wife beating and alcohol and etc., etc. in Am Yisrael. Nevertheless, compared to where the average Jew is today, the Jews of 2,000 years ago were not intellectual, and they were more primitive. Bidorot achronim, Rav Kook says, in the recent generations, hitchilu anakim litma'et, the great tzaddikim, the rabbis, they are coming down. Ve'aklal holechu mitaleh, but the masses are rising up. Be'amenu ninmatu haborim. There are very few people today who don't know how to read and write. Ulumatam nitma'atu v'uktenu agonim v'tzadikim. Betkufani mara shel achshav hadarvar bolet limo'od. This is very clear today. All right, the masses, they're idealistic. Everyone is going to university. Everybody has an ideology. And whether you're a socialist or a communist or a universalist or a feminist, or everybody today has an ideology. People today are thinking people. And the problem that they see in the Torah, Vizot Aliyah Shel HaKlal, paragraph Gimel of Surah 6, Vizot Aliyah Shel HaKlal Amonia, His Seva Gam Ken Yerida, Shador Shu Mutze Et Kol Mashu Shomea Veruem Yorim Umorim Katan Mierko. This is making a problem, because the masses today are intellectual, and they look at the old-fashioned religion as something which is shallow. It's not as idealistic as the modern secular ideals. And that, it explains Rav Kook, is why so many young people are leaving Torah. Because they're looking down at the Torah. It used to be that people looked up to the Torah. They looked up to these angels of tzaddikim. Today, the average Jew looks down at the Torah as something old-fashioned. And therefore, what we need is we need a Torah which is approachable to them. This generation, who mukshar rak litromem, I skipped a line, gam eno metil alav shume mavapachad. The young generation, you can't tell him, well, you're going to go to hell, because he doesn't believe in hell. He's not scared of hell. Who mukshar rak litromem, this generation is capable only of great things. If we show them the ideology and the beauty and the depth of the Torah, he's going to be turned on. But if we show him a shallow, meaningless Torah, then yeah, you can't understand the Torah, you can't understand God, you can't understand the mitzvot, he's not going to come back. Lo yuchal gam im yirtze liot kafuf v'shachuach. Today, with modern democratic society, the young people, even if they want to, they cannot be hunchbacked anymore. They can't be bending over with uncomfortable things. Asher lo yuchal imtso b'tocho roshem shel or chayim ladad v'regesh. Right? If they don't see the light of life, all right, that's what we're talking about. If the Torah is not a livable Torah, a Torah of intellect and of emotion, they're not going to be connected. Hu lo yuchal lashuv miyira. This generation cannot return out of fear. Ava ma'od mukshar hu lashuv mi'ahava. But he definitely is capable of returning out of love of the Torah, love of God. And these are a people, Rav Kook goes on to say, these are people who came on Aliyah to drain the swamps, to fight Arab marauders who give their lives in the wars of Israel, in the Israel Defense Force. These are not lazy, egocentric people. Adaraba, to the contrary, they are idealistic people who are willing to even die for ideals if they are convinced of their truth and of their beauty. And that is why we need today, again, explains Rav Kook beautifully. On the one hand, hitkatnut adorot, that's talking about the rabbis. On the other hand, there is a natural evolution of the masses so that we can meet in the middle. And that is the first point that Rav Kook is saying. The rabbis have to, especially today, be approachable. And that is when we're talking about the ma'asim. And that is why rabbis cannot be strict upon themselves in front of the masses. Okay, let's go back to source number 2, and we're going to put on the gas. Paragraph Gimel, Aval, and this is the other side of the coin, as Rav Kook always shows. Now he's going to talk about Rav Ami, who said that great rabbis should be stringent upon themselves more than other people. But when it comes to emotion, people need to have an emotional awe of the nobility of the great Torah scholars. And they have to have a kavod, a great respect for these Torah scholars. And this is the other side of the coin, that Davka, the rabbis, Davka should sometimes, on themselves, be on a different level. I remember that one of the Ramim, one of the Rebbeim in Kiryat Arba, where I learned, his name was Rav Yair Uriel, Zichronot Tzadik Livracha. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook used to say, tell the boys, that this Rav Yair, who was just in his 20s, he is a walking Mesilat Yesharim. He's a walking Sefer Torah. You should learn from him. And every small thing that he does, there is what to learn from. I told you just last week the story of Rav Nevinsal and this guy who told me that he would like to meet a holy person. Are there holy people today? So I arranged a meeting with Rav Nevinsal, the Rav of the Jewish Quarter, and this guy was blown away by his righteousness. And he became, on the spot, he became a Baal Tshuva. Because when we see the nobility that the religious leaders are like God, Hare, what is God? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are supposed to be godly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the one hand, is Karov Mikol Karov. On the other hand, Chazal say is Rachok Mikol Rachok. God is closer than close. We all have a spark of God inside us. It's not just that he's close, he's inside. On the other hand, he is above and beyond. The two points contradict. Rav Kook is saying, just by God they have to work together, so too by godly people we are meant to unite the opposites as well. And this is the Torah of unity that Rav Kook always talks about. This is, when we say a bracha, we start Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God. God is with me. Ata, he's here. But then we switch from second person to third person. Asher Bacharbanu, that he chose us. Hey, where's God? He was just here a second ago. So is God here, or is he above us? The answer is both. And the same thing with spiritual leaders. They are meant to be approachable with us. On the other hand, they are meant to also be on a higher league and a higher level. In other words, both Rav Nachman, in his desire to be lenient and show the people that you can be like me, he is correct, and also Rabbi Ami, who also says that rabbis have to be more stringent upon themselves, they are both correct, and they're both going to the same goal. Right? Getting back to paragraph Gimel, Rav Kook says very beautifully, "Ve'en li kavot sheyishvu baktanim im agdolim." You cannot, this aspect of the Torah, you cannot expect the masses to be like these great rabbis. In the famous words of Groucho Marx that we mentioned in the past, he said, I wouldn't want to be a member of a social club that would accept somebody like me. In other words, there is room for those noble rabbis who are on a higher level. But there's another important point. Paragraph Hey. V'machshavot ha-klaliyot holchot u-mitpartot b'maasim ha-tluyim b'yichud b'shnei yesodot gedolim shebatorah. Especially when we're talking about practical things, they have to be expressed in two specific aspects. Now Rav Kook is going to deal with the question, why davka was Rav Nachman say that it's important to be lenient regarding the laws of Shabbat and regarding the laws of bishulakum, of eating food cooked by a Gentile? He explains, Alohemba karat el yonutam shel Yisrael. Hare, one of the points that we've been talking about is that the Jewish people are the ones who received the Torah. The nation of Israel received the Torah. And therefore, the Torah has to be approachable and doable and relevant to everyone. And that's why the rabbis shouldn't be stringent. Regarding Shabbat is a good example. Ukdushat ha'uma bebchirata Elohid yesoda Shabbat oti leolam b'ni uven b'nei Yisrael. Shabbat is special to the Jewish people. Goy she'Shabbat chayav mita, a Gentile who observes Shabbat is punished. Why? Because Shabbat is a national event. We were slaves in Egypt. God took us out of Egypt. We show the world what a day without cell phones, how it could be a beautiful thing. Right? You can't expect all of mankind to observe Shabbat, but Shabbat is a difference for where Am Yisrael is different. A second example, Hasheni Havdalah Sheben Yisrael Amim, regarding Bishulakum, regarding the idea that we cannot eat with the Gentiles. We don't want to eat the food cooked by the Gentiles. The idea was so that separates, so that I won't marry his daughter, the cook's daughter. And here Rav Kook is also saying the idea of the nation of Israel has to see the Torah as relevant. And that's why regarding Shabbat and regarding the Gentile cooking, two mitzvot, which show the specialness of Am Yisrael, Rav Nachman wanted to show the masses to be lenient. On the other hand, paragraph Vav, Omnam, the other side of the coin, Bechol musag yoter nechmad v'yoter kadosh, here maybe we'll just do with this orally, Rav Kook mentions that there is the issue of Azarat Bal Tosif. This isn't the other hand, this is still the first hand, that rabbis have to be careful not to add on to the basic halacha. V'alti tzadik harbe, and don't be too righteous, says King Solomon in Kohelet. And usually this is understood to say, well, don't show off in front of other people. Rav Kook is explaining that don't be such a tzaddik in front of other people in order to show them that the Torah is relevant so that they can associate with this approachable rabbi. On the other hand, says Rav Yami, there needs to be this distance. Just like in the army, we need to respect our superiors, how much more so when we want to learn from our rabbis, we have to see them as angels. And that is why Rabbi Ami says the other side of the coin, Adam Chashuv Shani. To summarize, what we've seen is several very important points. Point number one, there's a difference between, on the practical level, rabbis have to be approachable and like everyone else. And that's one of the reasons why I and my friends, we dress without the rabbinic garb of the hat and the jacket and the tie. This is the Torah that Rav Kook says has to be in the modern day, especially as the masses are rising and the rabbis slowly are falling so that we can meet. On the other hand, on the emotional level, there has to be that aura towards the nobility of the rabbis, and both sides are right. And that is why the Gemara brings both sides. And as Rav Kook always does, he unites and harmonizes both aspects of the coin. That the Torah and Judaism Bichlal, on the one hand, has to be approachable for everyone, because the Torah belongs to the nation of Israel. On the other hand, there should be a certain nobility of the Torah and respect for those rabbis and spiritual leaders.